JG3.
Number 10B.
All right, so we come now to the level of absolute Christian Science. And we know now then that what we're dealing with is a holistic, dimensional, teleological structure, which is gives us what we call the model of being. And that this model of being really has its origin in the womb or matrix of infinity. That matrix of infinity, therefore, is the model which continues to restructure and restructure and restructure itself according to the law of self-reflection, self-similarity. And we saw yesterday that that restructuring can cause us to consciousness to spiral outward, so to speak, from a boundless basis, or it, that same self-operating system, will spiral downward as a control hierarchy if we know now that it doesn't find spiritual agreement or congruency between the universe, Earth, man, and nature's nature to be like God. It is, therefore, we could see that our qualities matter, that it's so easy to say one thing and do another. And this is always the big problem, of course, and therefore we can see that principle doesn't let us off the hook, that these laws are just laws in being, impersonal laws. God is really a principle. A principle is a law which includes all other laws. And as we know now that Mrs. Eddy said, there are different states and stages of consciousness. So what is reality? What is the law? And what is our consciousness? What is our state? Adam, where art thou? That law, therefore, doesn't know anything but itself. That law of God infinitely individualizes itself as individual laws, called me, called you, called Christ Jesus, called whatever. We all are that one law, infinitely individualized, adapted to the specific situation, yet still remaining that law. So we are, as Jesus, as it's indicated, especially by St. John, that Jesus was the calculus. He was those laws in operation. That's what we are. We are those laws in operation. When we are exercising along the line of the eight ordered steps to oneness with being, or along the line of the subject of the ordered approach to the one being by Max Kepler, we are exercising along the line of the law of God, especially to begin with, along with the laws, law of God as a seven of what God is, as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And there we do at step three, as we go a little higher and identify with those synonyms, we are exercising a law until we touch the levels at step five and six, seven, eight. Then comes in the dimensionality and the fourfold operation. But we're identifying with laws. So I guess we understand that. And that what is it is that we're doing is just having an attitude of letting those laws happen. They will happen in spite of our culturing consciousness in an orderly way. Either we'll do it, become one with the infinite one through science, as Mrs. Eddy said, or through suffering. So it might as well, as we know, happen through science, because it certainly is such that with our a consciousness that is transparent, that life in and of spirit is an ever-present possibility. Therefore, these levels of science itself, divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science are states and stages of consciousness free of time or space. We don't have to wait until some day called the 8,000-year period to embrace or entertain the atmosphere of the level of science itself, or divine science, or absolute Christian science, or Christian science. Every level is interrelated in a network of relationships, and therefore we our big job is to let consciousness become one with the infinite one. We're lucky we have such an orderly presentation given to us by the interpretation of Dorley and Kepler of Mrs. Eddy's works. to have a method, not only the subject, but the method of becoming one with the Infinite One. And therefore, we see then that our work in studying these laws is not studying something out there that exists in being, but we see that they are our very own consciousness. And once they become our very own consciousness, therefore, they're our very own being. So with that, we can see, therefore, that that level of science itself, that level of infinite principle, we saw then was a law, and therefore a law and consciousness is one. It's an experience where principle is being its own infinite principle. Or we know then mind is being its own infinite mind. Spirit is being its own infinite spirit. Soul is being its own infinite soul. Principle is being its own infinite principle. Life is being its own infinite life. Truth is being its own infinite truth, and love is being its own infinite love. Just by our consciously understanding that, we can see there's no I there. It's an experience of its own infinite, an experience now we know of restructuring. And as that structure restructures itself, we know now that that matrix of infinity, that womb of infinity, that infinite kaleidoscope that's constantly restructuring itself into the music of the spheres, into the melody of the spheres, where we know we go on to spiritual spheres and exalted beings, that restructuring, you can see it as a music, you can see it as an art, you can see it as the greatest literature has been ever written, when we go through art and past art into the realm of art itself, or through music and past music into the realm of music itself. We know that these geniuses that come in, like a Mozart or Beethoven, they hear these melodies, and always have said that they never really could, of course, get down all the melodies they hear. And I was always impressed by Michelangelo. He was one that always, you know, he was very proud of what he did as a sculptor. He was a very good one. And he also was didn't really enjoy painting that much, but we know he was always commissioned by the church to do paintings. He was also a good painter. But near the end of his life, the account is that just before he passed on at quite an advanced age, he says he really realized that all that he considered and identified with as his career, and you know how proudly he said on his sculptures, the things he made, he said, I, Michelangelo, sculptor. You know, he wanted you to know that he did it. And it's at just right at the end of his career, just before, as I said, he was ready to pass on, he said that he realized his whole career and everything wasn't what it was about, that art was this whole realm that was opening up to him. And I could just see that it was that whole sense of what Jesus said, work out your own salvation. This is the occupy till I come. And it's not what men call great, but it's what God calls good. That's what's most important. And one could get that glimpse of, he saw that just before he went on. All that he did here, which was considered great, wasn't what was important. There, he could see the opening up of a whole another dimensional of experience, and that was what was important. So therefore, we see that it's that attitude of humility, that attitude of really culturing these qualities that these laws enable us to do. So out of this infinite realm of, as I said, you could call it art itself, music itself, literature itself, dance itself, that realm of infinite being, comes then the laws of divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science. From the infinite self-containment of being springs forth, therefore, that pattern is that is modeled everywhere. That's why we saw this is called the model of being. It's that pattern which is modeling itself again and again and again. So And on every level now, we know it takes on a different form. So according to the phenomenon, so we know on the level of divine science, that infinite principle, which is being its own infinite principle spiraling outward, when it spirals downward, becomes that principle, and its idea is one, and this one is principle. And we'll never forget, because it's holistic and it wants to present its big worldview, first of all, that the level of divine science is about the universe, isn't it? We've seen that now, that any artist works from the whole to the part, whatever the field is, or a scientist. So that we'll never forget that divine science is principle in its idea, talking about the whole universe first. And therefore, that is, universe is a self-contained, a self-evolving, creation is the emanation from its infinite self-containment, an infinite self-contained, self-evolving system, which, and we saw there that that law of being is when principle operates out of itself, through itself, as itself, for the glory of itself, is really therefore then a cybernetic law of self-containment, and we didn't see it divided into the four, because it was a closed loop based on eternal feedback. Therefore, that law was a principle, operating principle, always out of the whole of principle, out of the whole of its self-existence, through the whole channel of principle, doesn't need any other channel in which to express itself. And therefore, the outcome is always as itself, as the whole of principle itself. And as we saw yesterday afternoon, it's for the glory of the whole principle. And therefore, we saw that Jesus' consciousness was at work on this level, and that every level has its practice. And we could see with a consciousness going out from divine science that has excludes any error, and therefore we could see how the healings are instantaneous. What wonderful opportunities for us to culture these attitude and atmospheres within our own consciousness. Now we'll see how that infinite principle, being its own infinite principle on the level of science itself, which is operating out of itself, through the whole of itself, the outcome always as the whole of itself, for the glory of itself, never loses that tonality as it comes, what we would say, to the level of absolute Christian science. Just because it looks like a downward causation, it never gets outside the realm of the infinite one, does it? So therefore, that maintains its wholeness, it maintains its integrity of for the glory of itself, for the glory of the whole of itself. It never, the infinite one, is the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. It never loses that. So we see that absolute Christian science is not behind the point of perfection, nor advancing to the point of perfection. It's at the point of perfection and is practice thereof, Mrs. Eddy said. And even on the level, because we're all within the infinite self-control, containment of being, even on the level of absolute Christian science, death is can be seen as not a reality, as can sin, sickness, disease, old age, deaths. These aren't a reality to the absolute Christian science level. They are not a reality to any level, because we see that there's only one line between absolute Christian science and Christian science. That was important, we saw, because it's really all absolute Christian science showing its impact on what we call the relative or the human. And so, therefore, its impact on Christian science. Consciousness doesn't take on a relative standpoint. It's always going out from perfection when we touch the garment of reasoning in science. It's always reasoning from cause to effect. We begin with mind, which can only be understood through its idea and never its opposite matter. We never take anything but the standpoint of perfection as in Christian science. That's just the standpoint. So It's just because 2 plus 2 equals, there's nothing in 2 plus 2 equals 5 that indicates that the answer is 2 plus 2 equals 4, is there? So we have to go out from perfection. It's a principle. It is not a person. It is not personality. It's a spiritual mathematics, and therefore, in order to set consciousness straight, we have to go back to the perfection of the principle. That's why we always say, take it back to the system. Take it back to the standpoint of perfection. We can't go out from a problem and beseech a principle to help us. That's already the first chapter of prayer, where Mrs. Eddy says it's useless to sit there and beseech the principle of mathematics before the board of mathematics. We have the 2 plus 2 equals, and we just don't know the answer, so we beseech either through sacrificing young maidens at the altar, or doing dances and rituals in front of the altar, or singing mantras, or all these things in front of the altar in order to get in the attention of the Infinite One. Huh? She says that the Infinite One doesn't have an ear. It's a principle. So she said, this is useless to do these things. It's not a religious approach. It's a scientific approach. And a scientific approach has to be to put the problem out of the way, as John Dorley said, and turn to the principle of it. Go back to the system, we say. And because each one of us is the whole. I love that exercise that Max gives in his oneness book, the oneness of being, behind the Christian Science textbook. In there on page 29, you see a law that talks about when you touch an idea, you touch the Infinite One. Therefore, every idea that comes to us isn't a little idea, but is the idea of the Infinite One itself. So every idea that comes to us hasn't just a little power or a little intelligence or a little influence in our life. It has the influence of the whole Infinite One mind itself. And every idea that comes to us doesn't have a little teeny bit of reality and a little bit of order and a little bit of substance. It has the whole reality, order, and development of the Infinite One spirit itself. And every idea that comes to us doesn't have a little identity within our plan of life. And we're just going to get a little crumb from the Infinite One's table today and see how we get along. It has a whole identity of the Infinite One's soul itself. And every idea that comes to us doesn't have just a little demonstrating power so we can just make it through the day and just kind of maintain our consciousness so we just don't go off the brink, does it? It has the whole demonstrating power of the Infinite One principle itself, doesn't it? And every idea that comes to us doesn't have just a little tiny life power. It has the power of the whole life itself. And it doesn't have a little dominion. It has the whole dominion of truth itself. And it just doesn't going to fit within the little bit of our life's plan. It's going to solve everything we need to solve at the moment within the plan of life for us. And that exercise on page 29 in what we call Max's Oneness book, the oneness behind the textbook of Christian Science, shows there how big it is that when we work with the idea, when you touch an idea, you touch the Infinite One. We never go outside the system. See, we're always in the system. So whether it's dealing with the level of science itself in our practice, or divine science, or absolute Christian Science, if we call ourselves scientists, we're always going out from the principle. And that principle is always the whole, seen in every detail, yet still remaining in the whole. We say, well, we just came into the science of Christian Science. We haven't read all these books, so I'll have to wait as another 10 years for my demonstration. We know this isn't so, that if we need to know all that we all we know is all we need to know, because every idea we know is as big as the Infinite One itself. If we just can trust that through science and understanding, it's an attitude. It's really an attitude. And therefore, With that attitude of knowing that we have touched the infinite one, they certainly see that today in the impact of what they call holographic images. They see there too that as a symbol from the world, that a photograph on a plate photographed on there through holographic means, we know when they drop the plate, let's say they had a picture of a horse on it, when they drop the plate, that we only found a little fragment of that photographic plate, and yet we know when they shine a laser beam through it, the whole horse comes out again. That every part is a whole. That's the science of holography. So these are symbols in, that are there because it's true in the spiritual. It wouldn't, we know, appear on the physical or mental realm if it wasn't already true about us in the spiritual. So these are, this is an attitude of perfection. And therefore, when we come to the level of absolute Christian science and see its impact on Christian science, we don't take what we call a relative standpoint. We only see an impact. So that's important in an attitude to understand. So now we see we come to absolute Christian science and the law of absolute Christian science. And that level law, then, as we see it on page, in the study aid, on page 82, we see then that that law is a law called on the whole level of the law of spontaneity. And yet we can see that because this level really is a level that lets us measure the whole wall thereof. When St. John in Revelation saw, therefore, that New Jerusalem, the city four square, while here, he didn't have to transcend the state, that he showed it was an ever-present possibility of consciousness. And therefore, he saw a new heaven and a new earth, and that we know, of course, that the New Jerusalem was the city coming down from heaven to earth, which lieth four square. So we saw, well, yes, that's the symbol for divine science, that city that lieth four square, where principle God operates out of itself, the word through itself, operation, the Christ, the outcome as itself, Christianity, for the glory of itself, divine science. And therefore, that fourfold operation now takes on a fourfold law on absolute Christian science. And we saw in John's revelation that he measured the wall thereof. There's where the infinite details, the infinite calculation comes in. And then later on, we see that it goes on to say, and the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nation, which then would be the level of Christian science. So we see that, and then he goes into infinite detail about what the walls look like and the stones and everything, just showing us that this is the level for the detailish calculation, really, if principle presents itself as universal idea on the level of absolute Christian science, now we're dealing with a calculus of ideas, and therefore we're seeing the more infinite detail of that principle on science itself and divine science in a more detail, in a closer look, and seeing what's going on. So therefore, the consciousness begins to focus. And so from the level of science itself, that wonderful, wonderful, wonderful state of consciousness of a principle being its own infinite principle operating on divine science and downward causation out of itself, through itself, as itself, and for the glory of itself. Now that fourfold operation, that self-cybernetic loop built on feedback is feeding back, and it's coming on the level of absolute Christian science in a fourfold process of the word becomes the principle, and the Christ becomes a relationship to Christianity, the ideas, and science becomes the feedback. So we now have on that level principle in relationship to principle. And principle in its relationship to its ideas. So therefore, we ask ourselves naturally on this level, what are the criteria, just as we did before we get our little guide I gave out, our little booklet. I see I didn't bring mine this morning, but the White Study Questionnaire, and in there on the level of Absolute Christian Science, we see the tonality of the law. We just saw that it was a calculus of ideas, and its principles now relationship to its ideas. Therefore, that relationship, therefore, is what, and what are the factors of the law? So, if we just take a little closer look, we will see then that on the level of science itself, principle being its own infinite principle, operating principle on divine science out of the origin of principle through the channel of principle, outcome as the principle for the glory of principle. So we see, therefore, on divine science that principle is the input, that principle is the process, that principle is the output, and that principle is the feedback. It never leaves that holistic, gestalt, self-contained realm of principle, operating principle in a fourfold way. And therefore, that maintains its integrity. The infinite principle on the level of science itself, which is operating itself as a fourfold process on divine science, is exactly the same principle of the word, the same logos, which now has a relationship to, this is its relationship to, ideas. And so, therefore, the law is going to be different because we're dealing with a different phenomenon on this level, aren't we? Instead of with the universe as divine science, we're dealing with ideas. So, therefore, we have that principle God now, the creator, that principle God, the input, or you could say that principle God, the creator, is in a relationship. How? It's creating. It's the process of creating. And the outcome is what? Creation. Ideas. For the glory of what? That creator and creation is one. That's always the tone of science.